welcome back to the second part of the Affiliate Marketing Workshop with Rosalind Gardner. I think the first thing we can do is just to recap what we did or what we covered in the first hour, and that was really to focus on the research and what do you do to actually find a market before you go out and sign up for a bunch of affiliate programs. Maybe you can just go over with us, Rosalind, just quickly take us through the research phase. How do you decide what market you're actually going to get into before you even consider becoming an affiliate?
Well, the first step is to make sure that it's a market or a topic that you enjoy, because that that's going to fuel your fire for a long time to come, as opposed to something that that you're not interested in but which you think makes money. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is to go out and do some research online. You know, to search for. Use the keyword suggestion tool that Yahoo or Google provide. WordTracker has also just come out with a new one. I think that the Yahoo tool is going to be leaving pretty soon. And see how many searches there are in any given month. And I let you know, the more the merrier. Also, the more the searches there are, the more competition you're probably going to have, unless you happen to be one of those lucky one in a billion people who can actually find a large market that remains untapped. Don't worry about competition. As long as you plan to be unique in your field, you'll do well. And then of course what you want to do is search Google for to see what other people are doing within that topic, and see how big their sites are. Check their page ranks. And maybe go in and check their Alexa ratings. Those things don't have a whole lot of validity, but what you want to do is, especially with Alexa, if you can find something like a site that has a ranking of, say, under 50,000 and better under 25, you know they're doing a good job of driving traffic to their site, and they're probably, and having people keep coming back. And that site is probably successful. So go in and find those sites and see what they're doing, and then just decide to do something better.
Excellent. What about, can you just explain quickly what does the PageRank in Alexa mean?
Well, actually, PageRank is a Google method of determining the validity of a page. Mm-hmm. And description, well, a friend of mine calls it green fairy dust, because so many people put so much emphasis on, how a page ranks. It basically is an indicator of quality to Google, how many sites actually link to that site, how many people, Google knows everything.
Yeah.
how much traffic does it get, blah, 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 that sort of thing. But once again, take a little look at it, but don't base huge decisions on either PageRank or Alexa rating.
Okay. What's the Alexa ranking rating that you said there? That's 50,000 or better. If it's 25,000, what does that refer to?
That's anybody who has downloaded the and uses the Alexa toolbar contributes to the Alexa rankings, and so you can go into alexa.com and type in any particular URL that you're interested in, and it'll show you. What the Alexa ranking is, what the traffic, whether the traffic has been increasing or decreasing, how many, I think it's page views per visitor, over a certain period of time. I think you can, see up to like a year or 2 years or something like that. You can tell it's been a while since I've looked at Alexa.
Yeah.
But yeah, just some ideas of how to determine the value of a competitor's site or even a merchant's site, if you will.
Okay. Now, what would a good rule of thumb be if I go to search on how many keywords, how many people have searched on a specific keyword? If you use, we go back to the example that we used in the first part of our workshop for palmistry or palm reading, for example. If I went to WordTracker and I looked up palm reading, what kind of numbers should I look at or expect to see if it's going to be a good niche to focus on?
Well, it kind of all depends. If you have one specific, it depends. It depends on whether you're going to build a huge content site around it. Are you going to build a little, like a couple of pages, and just send traffic there from the pay-per-click search engines to buy a specific product? If that's the case, then You know, as little as 5,000 searches a month on a particular word would be fine. But if you're planning to build a huge content site on a particular topic, then certainly you want huge volumes of keyword searches on the, you know, on that particular topic. Like dating gets well over a million searches. I think it's well over a million searches each and every month. And that's just one term. So, like, you know, you add the terms online dating and personals and singles in Peoria and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And all of those words combined are going to add up to, like, a huge, huge, huge market for online dating.
Okay, so that's a good point then. You can actually develop different size sites for different size markets.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, as far as the research goes, I think that's a very good 5-minute recap of exactly what you need to look at for the research. When we get past the research point, when we get to the point where, okay, now I'm going to become an affiliate, I'm going to develop my own website, what kind of steps do we need to go through at this point?
Well, you need, first of all, of course, you want to build the site, right? Mm-hmm. Select your domain name, make sure that it's somewhat relevant to your topic and have it hosted at a good host, and I always recommend that you use a host that offers a cPanel interface. It's just so much easier and nicer to use, much easier to learn than some of the ones that I've used in the past. They've been terrible, especially for non-geek people like myself.
Yep.
And then once you've done that, once you've registered your domain and you have that set aside, what you want to start working on is your content. And, you know, develop a plan, like a content plan. How are you going to deliver this? Are you going to, first you should do core material, like answer the questions that all of your visitors are probably going to ask, like what, you know, do the beginner, the intermediate, and the advanced level. So, like, if we're still on palmistry, you know, answer the question, what is palmistry? Once you've built out that core information, you can start linking to it from your homepage. And your homepage needs to be, first of all, an introduction to your site. It should clearly depict what the site is about and welcome your visitors. It should be, you know, warm and friendly and blah, blah, blah. I think it's a really good idea to have a picture of you on the homepage, or at least, you know, if you don't want to do that, then you need to have an About Us page that says more about the webmaster, who's developing the site and why they develop the site. People love that sort of thing. They like looking at that, and not only that, but it gives you credibility and builds more trust, which of course makes more sales in the long run. And so you want to be linking from the homepage to those various articles. You can start with, you know, like as few as, I would say, four or five, and they don't have to be all that long. And on top of that, I should actually take a step back. You can build a site completely around a blog, which can be installed from the cPanel interface or Fantastico within a minute or two. And you can do your whole site can be based on blogging technology. So the wonderful thing about that is that your articles, if you will be in static pages. Mm-hmm. And then you can just blog on a regular basis. Like I've, you know, a blog a day keeps the creditors away type of thing. So, but you want to plan a lot of that in advance. As a matter of fact, you and I were discussing that earlier, just before the call, about setting things up so that you don't have, you know, like if you're going to blog tomorrow, do you know what you're going to blog about? Well, you know, plan it a week in advance and have a logical progression to your material. So if you're going to talk about, first you talk about, if we're talking about dating, then maybe one of the first things you do is you talk about, you know, online dating safety. Maybe you pick up some information from, from a news source like Google Alert. Is there any new news in there? You could blog about that, but just always keep it moving along and try to keep things, you know, one related to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and just always have some sort of syntax there or some, you know, some linking, so it's a natural, smooth progression for your readers, and they're always looking forward to the next one. And that's another key point, is that when you know what's coming next, you can give hints. and clues and say, you know, and look for this coming tomorrow. And so it keeps your readers interested in what you're doing. And then, of course, there's the you need to build an autoresponder series with a minimum of 7 emails that get sent out to your subscribers, those people who subscribe to your newsletter. And that's, you know, it's critical that you have a newsletter form, a sign-up form on every single page of your site. I usually keep it in the top right-hand corner because that seems to be the best place for people to notice where it is and actually sign up. Another thing you want to consider including is incentive for them to sign up. So whether you write your own free report or, you know, it might be just 10 points, you know, 10 things you absolutely must know to avoid online dating scams. And, you know, it doesn't have to be long, but it's just it's a promise that you make, and it encourages people to sign up for your list. And so that's all the content that you need to be developing before you really go live. And then once you've got that in place, you can, you know, go live with your site and then continue with your regular blog broadcasts and your you know, what I do with the blog is that I basically just use the material that I post in the blog and I set that up in my auto, or not in my autoresponder, sometimes I put it in my autoresponder, but and, you know, other times I'll just use it as a broadcast. And so around the same time as I do the post, I'll throw it in AWeber's broadcast form, and I'll send that out to the subscribers because not everybody's going to come back to your site every day. So this is another way of letting them know that there's new information on your site. A little trick with that is not to put the full blog post in, to create some incentive to visit your site. So you might tell half the story and then say, to learn more, to find out what happens, click here, and then you send them to the to the blog entry where they can read the rest of the to read the rest of the information. And what that does, and you know, we mentioned that Google knows everything, is Google sees the traffic coming back to your site. So if you've got, you know, several thousand, 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 subscribers, and you know, a huge number of those people show up on your site at any given time, Google's going to take notice, and it's going to reward you for that, for being able to drive that kind of traffic to your site.
So what are actually the content within these, your blog posts? How does that content actually sell your affiliate programs?
Well, excuse me.
Sure.
That's a really good point. We are selling stuff, aren't we? what you want to do is, when you're developing your content, you have to think first about the product that it sells. Now, you don't want to sell with every single blog post. You want to, you know, have a nice balance between informative articles and out-and-out sales pitches. And I think that the informative articles should always be attached to, you know, or should be attached to a product. So if I was going to sell somebody's book on palmistry, I might take a point that they discuss that might not otherwise be known and discuss that, you know, talk about that a little bit in an article or in a blog post or something like that, and then say, to learn more about this, you know, buy this book. Or you could have written a product review about that book because you like it so much and you want to, you know, really encourage people to buy it. So then instead of linking directly to the merchant site, you would link to the product review about the book, and then the link within the product review goes to the merchant page. So, you know, usually the more work you do, the better off you are, because, you know, like, you may think, oh, I just want to link right to the merchant page. However, just saying buy this book because I think it's good doesn't have nearly as much traction, and the conversion rates won't be nearly as good as if you write a product review explaining, you know, more about why you like the book and why you think they should, why you think your customers should buy it. And the nice thing too is that if you're dealing with one specific niche, it's likely that you're going to be promoting the same products over and over and over again. I think a big mistake that people make is that they promote a product once, and then they go off in search of the next product and the next product and the next product, and they never get back to the first product that they were trying to sell. And you know, I like to do it 3 times in a row. You know, try to link, try to keep focused on a topic, and keep, you know, like week after week after week for 3 weeks, maybe a month. You know, keep mentioning, you know, that product, somehow try to build it into into your copy, and you'd be amazed. You may not get as many sales the second time you mention it. You may, in fact, get more. Right?
Wow. Yeah. Why would that be?
Well, I guess maybe some people just don't pay attention the first time. They don't think it has that much validity the first time. But if you know, hammer home the point of how valuable this particular product or service is, and you're still talking about it, then they probably, you know, it encourages them to think a little bit more about how they may need that particular product. And, of course, you don't want to sell people things that they don't need, so talk about things that are always relevant, you know, when you're looking for products.
Right. Now, if we use that model of being able to basically write an article to be able to promote the product, how many affiliate programs could we realistically be a part of?
It all depends on how many there are, you know, and it really depends on how many there are. I tend to minimize the number that I keep on my sites. Like, I think I've got I just added a bunch last week, but on the dating site up until last week there were about 35 different programs, and of course there's all sorts of highly niche sites like Black Singles and, you know, Arab Lounge and like for Indian singles and whatever, right? Like, or deaf singles even. So therefore, because there's so many different products, I can have more. If you know, I would think that probably in the palmistry category there wouldn't be that many different products. So, you know, it's really a matter of what's out there and what you think is of value to your audience.
And how many? I mean, you've got 35 on your dating website now.
Mm-hmm.
That's been built since 1998 or something, you said, right?
Right.
So I mean, having you know, quite a few affiliate products on there over a long period of time gives you a good amount of time to be able to write the articles that you need and be able to relate to each one. But as somebody who would be just starting out in the affiliate marketing arena, is it a good idea to go out and join 35 programs and try and promote them all at the same time, or should we do it? how should we do that?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
What you want to do is you want to write the articles that, you know, relate in part to the particular product that you're selling. You could go as far as writing a product review before you join the program. You have to remember that merchants are really concerned about who is promoting their product and how it's being promoted. And so what you don't want to do is just go in there and say, you know, I'm planning to start a site, you know, about palmistry, and I'd like to join your affiliate program because I want to make money. Well, they see that the emphasis is on making money as opposed to doing a good job to promote their product and provide information. You know, it's all about relationships, and it's all about adding value as an affiliate. And so, if the merchant takes a look at your site and sees that there is A, either one, not there because you're applying too soon, or B, that you're not providing content that's remotely related to their product, they're probably going to deny you access. Now, there are plenty of programs that will accept, you know, affiliate applications out of hand, but there are also many, 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 many who just will not. They will require... They will look at your site before they approve you, and in most cases you won't know who is who. So it's always better to give to get, right?
Right. Okay. Now, what about getting this content? What if I'm not particularly good at writing? Is there an easy way that we can go about creating articles? You mentioned one idea is a review, but is there an easy way to go about creating articles about specific niches without having to physically sit down every day and write an article?
Sure, there's a couple of different ways you can do that. We talked about looking at news. What you can do is, if you find some relevant or significant news within your industry that comes out on a particular day, what you might want to do is reference that, like have a little snippet of the press release or whatever it was that you saw. And just a snippet of it. You can't normally include the whole thing without permission. And then you'll have to link to that, to the press release. And then what you want to do is add your own comments about that particular news. just to once again add value. Now the problem with that I see is that you are, you know, you're giving away a free link off your site. Now you want it to pop a new window, of course, because you want people to remain on your site. Many people have pop-up blockers installed, so that too is a problem, but you don't want to just direct link them because they may never come back.
Right.
And then the other thing that you can do is you can go into article directories and see whether there's any articles like Article City, GoArticles.com, EZineArticles.com, and see whether there have been any articles written on your particular topic that you think are well written. With many of those things, they allow you to use the article,
mm-hmm.
and provided you include their author's resource box, which invariably includes a link back to their site. Once again, you're dealing with having a leaky, what I call a leaky link, right? It's a non-paying link.
Right.
And so, you know, it might be a good way to fill your site up with content initially, but I would use stuff like that for a very short period of time. One way to more effectively use that type of content is to include the article, and then below the article or below the resource box have, you know, if you want to learn more about this, and then you link to your product review or to the merchant site, so you stand a better chance of making money off of that. But if you really don't like to write, and the best way to get content that doesn't include leaky links is to look for private label rights articles, or go to Elance or Scriptlance and have some articles written for you. There's tons of writers out there who, you know, will work for not a whole lot of money. I mean, there's some that'll write an article for $2, right? They'll, you know, 250 to 500 words. Those articles aren't very good.
Right.
You want to spend, you know, make sure that person speaks well English.
Very, very well put.
Because, you know, that is the problem that you run into. It's just, it's atrocious. Some of the stuff that I see is just absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Just awful. And so if you find a writer, or if a writer bids on your project, you know, insist on seeing some of their past work. It's better if the writer is absolutely or is interested in the topic that they're writing about. Maybe they're a specialist in that particular area. It might be finance, a credit, or something like that. And so, you know, if you've got a teller who is writing about that on her off hours, that's great. You know, like, you're really lucky if you can find somebody like that. And be really specific about what you want. You know, think of a number of article titles that, you know, for the next, whatever, 10 weeks or something like that. And then find out how much they're bidding. You know, like, $10 is average. I would always pay more for better quality. It's, you know, it's worth it. If you spend, you know, $100 or $200 for, you know, 10 articles that are really, really good and they're unique to your site, you're going to be so much farther ahead than if you, you know, spent a lot less for a lot more.
And you save a whole lot of time.
And you save a whole lot of time. And not only that, but you can put your name on them. I mean, that's part of the...
Exactly.
You write that into the agreement. You know, you specify that these articles will be... I don't know all the legal terminology. All you have to do is go and look through some of the writing projects that are put up there, and, you know, just copy and paste some of that terminology into your own project. That just guarantees that it's unique, it will never be used again, and that you retain the rights, you know.
And that takes care of the problem of having leaky links on your website.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. You actually mentioned something. I think this is probably one of the coolest quotes that I've seen when it comes to affiliate marketing. In your Super Affiliate Handbook, you said, don't build a mall, build a theme park.
Right.
Can you explain that? Because I think that's a beautiful way to sum up exactly how you build websites.
Well, I do a lot of consultations with new webmasters and new affiliate marketers, and you know, I just want to weep when I get to their site, because I never look at the site before we get on the phone. And I just want to weep when I see a site that is trying to be, you know, the next Yahoo.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, you can't do that. First of all, Yahoo already exists, and About.com already exists, and all, you know, there's so many really, really big portal sites. So don't try to sell everything. You know, like, you're You know, you might think that you're going to make a lot of money selling selling treadmills, but if your site is about dating, you better find a really, really, really good way to link that. You know, oh yeah, you want to be fit for your for the person that you meet online. Well, I could see that maybe working, right? But in the navigation on the left-hand side or the right-hand side or wherever you put it, you don't want to have autos and dating and jewelry and e-books and perfume and household, you know, housewares or something like that. You know, like a whole mishmash of different types of items. Keep it, you know, keep it relevant to the to a topic. Pick a topic, and the more finely niched you can go. Like I've got, dating is a huge topic. It turns out that it's a huge topic because there's so many different branches, and I have a different page on my site for every one of those branches. But essentially, the site is about dating, and so that makes it a big, big content site.
And that's so, what you're calling a theme park.
That's what I call a theme park.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So the mall, what we don't want to do is build a mall that has, like you said, treadmills and perfume and dating and all that type of thing, but build a theme park that is just dating and has just dating services, but not branching out into you know, other areas outside dating, even if you can remotely tie it in like a treadmill to become fit, that kind of thing.
Right, and if you really, really wanted to do that, you wouldn't add it to your navigation. You would talk about the importance, you know, you might do a blog post or an article or something like that about the importance of, you know, being the person that you want to be before you get involved with somebody else, and that would include, you know, living a healthy lifestyle and all of that stuff, especially if you have the expectation of your future partner that they also be fit.
Right, yep. So you can kind of tie it in, but not make it a main point on your website.
Right.
Okay, that's cool.